Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on January 24th, 2018. We have a special guest at the top of the show, Gabe Gonzalez, is joining Ann and Andy to talk about DACA and the Dreamers Act. We'll also have a report on the Women's March with over a million people marching in the streets around the world. So here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum and their guest, Gabe Gonzalez. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the news this week, Democrats did not hold out for the reinstitution of DACA. And we're going to discuss this with our guest, journalist Gabe Gonzalez.
You've seen him here before. You'll see him in a minute. He's sitting right here. But first, the rest of the headlines. Millions, including us, joined the women's marches against Trump across the country and around the world. And we'll show you some interesting details from that.
This is a complicated story. Same-sex married couples are suing the State Department for not recognizing the American citizenship of some of their children.
It's really weird. And as forecast, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services opened up a conscience and religious freedom division to help them discriminate against LGBT people.
This week, lots more anti-LGBT Trump nominees advanced in the Senate, but one appointee had to resign over racist, sexist, and anti-LGBT pronouncements on the radio.
Latest report from the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Projects on the number of anti-LGBT murders last year, significantly up.
We're going to show you a 90-year-old woman who was dishonorably discharged from the Air Force in 1955 for being a lesbian and finally got her honorable status.
Under this administration?
Well, it...
Details to come. We are very sad to report the death of comedian Bob Smith, a terrific guy, and we'll show you a little of him.
We told you, I guess, last year about these mysterious disappearances of gay men. It turns out they were murdered, and it turns out they were murdered by a silver daddy. I'm going to show
Toronto,
you him.
Yeah.
Yes.
We, of course, have combed through the Oscar nominations to find everything LGBT-related, and we do have some details on that.
And we're going to review a new play about the 1973 Battle of the Sexes between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Preview. but we are very happy to welcome back to Gay USA Gabe Gonzalez, who you've seen here before, both as a guest panelist and as a guest co-host of the show. Today, you're joining us as a guest. You are a freelance writer, journalist, and comedian.
I am, yeah, the triple threat, as they say.
The next Joy Behar.
Oh, gosh. Well, we see. I can only aspire to such heights. So.
Okay.
We knew her when.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another story. But we wanted specifically to bring you in as a journalist who is familiar with these, particularly with these immigration issues,
true,
because we are horrified, of
yes,
course, by what's going on with the DACA thing. And so we want to get your take on that, everybody's take on what Chuck Schumer and the Democrats did and related issues and predictions for the future. So
go for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Great. Well, not so great, given what's happened with Democrats recently. I like to start looking at sort of the big picture and distinguishing between DACA and the DREAM Act, which I think confuses a lot of people.
Help us.
Yeah, they're very related, but they're two separate issues, right? So DACA was signed by President Obama in 2012 after another version of the DREAM Act failed. failed to pass in 2011.
And that's deferred action for childhood arrivals.
That's correct.
And that applies to?
So that is an executive order that applies to individuals who are brought to the U.S. under the age of 18, so long as they were born after, I think it's June 15th of 1981. So there's also an age cap on this, which is why we're seeing stories of individuals who have been in the country maybe 30 years. There was a man named Jorge Garcia in Detroit who was deported. His wife is a U.S. citizen. His children are U.S. citizens. He's too old to qualify for DACA. He's been here 30 years. He was brought over at the age of 9, and he was deported, right? So I don't think all these issues end with DACA, but yeah.
He was brought as a child, but he's now too old to be seen as someone who was brought with no power?
Well, he was born before June 15th, 1981, which is an age limit that was written into the executive order. So there are a lot of people that are lost in the cracks, right? Some people who were brought over as children but still aren't protected by DACA, which is
crazy.
Also a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And, well, we have an example on a video piece from a couple of years ago of a young gay man, Ricardo, who became fairly well known because he came out as being undocumented and being a DACA eligible person. And working, of all places, a restaurant in the Trump Soho Hotel. Yeah. Let's take a look at his situation, and then we can update on what's up with him now. This is Ricardo.
My name is Ricardo Aca. I am from Puebla, Mexico, and I work in the Trump Soho building.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
I've worked at the Trump Soho for the past 2 years. I'm a busser at the only restaurant in the hotel. This is not what I plan on doing with my life, but I work really hard and I definitely don't take it for granted.
Are you a criminal?
I am not a criminal.
Are you a drug dealer?
Not a drug dealer.
Are you a rapist?
Definitely not a rapist. I'm an undocumented immigrant. I was about 14 when I crossed the border. I came here with my family, my stepfather, my mom, and my sister. We live in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We've lived here for the last almost 10 years. This is where I went to high school. This is where all of my friends are. It's home to me. I feel like Republicans think Mexicans are lazy. But I personally work 2 jobs. My stepfather works 2 jobs. Everything that my family has, and like, we have earned it by working. We came to America because we wanted a better life. My mom was able to put me and my sister through college, which I'm not so sure if in Mexico I would have been able to do that. I received my associate's degree in commercial photography. It's something that I've always had an eye for and that I think I'm really good at. I'm very passionate about it. It also gives me a voice. I can't vote, but I can take photos and share the stories of people like me. You know, Trump keeps pointing out all these immigrants that have done all these terrible things. But those aren't the immigrants that I know. That's not what we're like. And photography is a way for me to show that. Other Republicans have criticized Trump's comments, but to me they all seem to have the same position on immigration. I mean, I may have an accent, but I'm not stupid. And I know I could lose my job just for talking about Trump, but it doesn't make me proud to go to work every day under his name. I don't think the rest of America feels the same way that he does. I hope that they don't. I love it here. I love New York City. I feel as much part of this country as anybody else, but I'm also proud to be Mexican.
So he was able to get out of that S-hole hotel.
Seems like it, yeah. Ricardo's actually amazing. He's actually one of the organizers for a group called Make the Road New York.
Yeah, that's true.
They're a great immigrant advocacy organization. And we actually touched base in December while he was outside protesting outside the New York City offices of Chuck Schumer for not pushing a DREAM Act last year.
So you talked about DACA.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the DREAM Act.
Right. So because DACA was an executive order, Trump could repeal it at his leisure. He's decided to do so March of this year. So he's sort of given Congress a deadline to pass the DREAM Act, which would essentially be a bill that does what DACA does but is enshrined as law, right? It might also have some different stipulations about a path towards citizenship, whether or not people can work and study, at what age. There have been so many different versions of the DREAM Act that have attempted to be passed since 2001.
So the DREAM Act has never been passed.
It hasn't.
I can remember a lot of people hawking Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail,
absolutely.
Dreamers,
mm-hmm.
showing up at her events and demanding that. I think she finally came around.
Yeah.
But it took a while.
Absolutely. And it took a while with Obama as well. I mean, to this day, the Obama administration was responsible for some of the highest numbers of deportations we saw in this
right.
country.
Yeah.
And even compared to Trump within the first year, he still deported more people. Trump is just detaining more, right? So we saw more deportations under Obama, but we're seeing more arrests and detainments under Trump.
And the stuff that's happening, we read about it every day in the papers, is so horrifying. Grabbing people who were working at 7-Eleven.
Absolutely.
Pulling people out of hospitals who were doctors
yeah.
who were working there and just taken away and put into detention centers.
There have been undercover ICE agents in Brooklyn courts waiting to seize people who are coming in even as witnesses for cases, right? Individuals who aren't necessarily criminals or associated with criminal activity who are still being targeted just for their status.
Now, all right. So let's stay with what happened in Congress.
Yeah.
We had a promise from the Democrats that they're mm-hmm. not going to let a budget bill pass, this temporary budget bill pass, unless you do this DACA. And then they caved.
Right. I was surprised, especially because of the number of protests I saw last December. For a while, the Democrats were promising a clean DREAM Act by the end of the year. And what they mean by clean is that they wouldn't trade the DREAM Act for funding for a wall, right? And what you're hearing from a lot of DREAMers, which is essentially what they call DACA recipients, who are aspiring to become protected by this law, a lot of them say they don't want to throw their families under the bus because DACA shouldn't be where these protections end, right? We're protecting some of these young people. What happens to their parents, their grandparents, siblings that might be older and might not be eligible for DACA? So if and when DACA expires in March, we'll see a lot of people left without recourse, and that's a very scary thought, I think.
Well, what do you think will happen then? Because I have to say, on the one hand, I think the Democrats blew it.
Absolutely.
Because,
God, yeah.
because they, not just by caving, I think they had to cave because they had done such a horrible job mm-hmm. of seizing the high ground on this.
And the narrative.
And they were getting just demolished by the Republicans
Absolutely.
In the PR circle. So
yeah.
so to cave was to really retreat to their corner and say, we got to regroup and try again,
Absolutely.
Which is not to excuse them,
right.
But to condemn them not so much for caving as for being horrible in the first place.
Yeah.
But I have no confidence that the right-wing Republicans are going to let anything go through Congress.
I don't either. And I feel like this was really a lost opportunity. This is one of those rare moments where we see the minority party in Congress with some leverage, at least in the Senate, right?
Yes.
So I really was hoping Chuck Schumer would sort of deliver on this promise. I mean, you look at his Twitter account, and his banner says, Protect Dreamers. And he's, used some very strong language to want to protect immigrants, and I haven't seen action that matches that.
They're just, they do mediocre lip service.
Absolutely.
But they don't really know how to seize the narrative mm-hmm. to sell it to the American people
True.
In a way that would make the American people rise up and force Congress to
right.
do something.
Especially when there are a million quotes from Trump, who is a horrible person,
Absolutely.
Who keeps saying, I love the Dreamers.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen after March 5th
yeah.
if we have no bill and no—and DACA has now been ended by Trump?
Yeah, unless there is another executive order to protect these individuals, if Congress doesn't act by March, we're going to have millions of people in this country without legal protections and without legally acknowledged status.
And these were people who were told, come register with us, you're going to be
absolutely.
Fine.
Absolutely.
So
mm-hmm.
now they have, they have us.
Oh, that's why how they're also getting people. People walk into their offices mm-hmm. to check in, as they're supposed to do regularly.
Yeah, of course.
And boom, you're out.
And they're targeting so many activists are
oh,
also
yeah.
being targeted during regular check-ins, absolutely unannounced intention to arrest them and deport them.
Ravi Rugbeer.
Ravi Rugbeer was one of the most recent recent New York.
He was from New Sanctuary, New York City, and he was detained by ICE. Mm-hmm.
So do we have any handle on the specific, you know, we saw Ricardo, who's a young gay man, and do we have any handle on LGBT people in particular who are victims of this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think not just victims, but also sort of advocates that have been in similar positions. I think we're seeing trans activists like Jenyset Gutierrez and Bambi Salcedo really come to the forefront, talking not just about DACA, but also about the dangers queer people, queer immigrants, face in detention, right? Or when they are deported. Recently, I spoke to a couple of individuals who came from Central America, the Northern Triangle. We've got El Salvador, Ecuador, Guatemala. And, you know, some of these people in El Salvador were temporary protected individuals after an earthquake there. Right. But there's also a lot of homophobia in these countries. And so many human rights organizations have documented people not just being harassed by their neighbors, by government officials, by police officers. So when we are deporting queer immigrants, we're putting them in danger more so than, I think, other situations, right? Because you have that compounded danger. Mm-hmm. You haven't been in that country for a while. You're very vulnerable. You're also a targeted minority in that country
as well. We talked about who was the Mexican guy we were talking about last week. They wanted to send him back. He had been beaten up by his family and friends in the old neighborhood and where he was from. And they didn't want to give him asylum.
Yeah. That's insane.
I'm not a big fan of the New York governor, but in this case, Governor Cuomo in New York has moved that DACA eligible people will be eligible still for state health coverage, regardless of what the federal government does, including Medicaid and Child Health Plus. So the state, are we pushing the states to, you know, mitigate this as much as possible?
I mean, unfortunately, in my opinion, unfortunately, states do have a lot of leeway in what they can offer immigrants or how they can target immigrants. So I think we are in need of a federal law. I am thankful that states like New York and California have really stood up for the rights of these individuals. But there are so many undocumented youth that fall between the margins, right? Oklahoma, Ohio, Wisconsin, these states where you might assume there aren't any brown people, right? But there are. They're everywhere. And that's something that I think the country's really waking up to. An interesting side effect of this debate in Congress is that support for a DREAM Act is at an all-time high in this country.
Yeah.
Which I think is maybe the one positive little bit of silver lining we get afterwards.
All right. So if they come forward with the act and say, okay, we're going to do it, but we're going to add the wall and we're going to stop what they call chain migration, which is family unification, and all these other things, poison pills.
Right.
What is our strategy at that point?
I mean, at this point, you sort of have to trust the Democrats to do the right thing because that's why I'm laughing.
Leaving right now.
I know, right? Well, because we've seen so many members of the Democratic Party, or at least people that align with the Democratic Party, now turning to Democratic representatives and senators and being like, hey, it's your turn to be held accountable for what you promised. And so I think at this point, all we can do is apply pressure and really push Democrats to remember who their voter base is and what's at stake in the midterm elections in 2018.
Well, that's certainly important.
Are we going to have to start hiding people? I assume some people are, of course, in hiding.
It happens quite often. I mean, there are so many individuals that are undocumented and still working and driving without a license, and so they have to hide, right?
Right.
We've seen immigration enforcement on buses. There was an instance where ICE boarded a Greyhound bus in Florida most recently. And these bus raids have been happening since 2006, they've been increasing under this administration.
Well, there is going to be a demonstration on Friday in New York in Washington Square Park at noon. Friday at noon, it's the one-year anniversary of us all going to the airports to protest the Trump orders. So that's something. But there's things happening all over the country, folks. And we all need to people have to come forward
and speak up and put pressure on and vote in the midterm elections. But this has to be taken care of before then. Gabe, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely, thank you.
Updating us, and we'll see you back here soon.
Hope so. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, that was depressing, but I hope it means that we're all going to fight back and rise up. Now, also depressing is we told you about this last week, but it's happened at the Department of Health and Human Services. There is a new Conscience and Religious Freedom Division, emphasis on the word division. On the homepage, they put a picture of a Muslim woman doctor.
To what end? It's certainly not satisfying their base.
It's a license to discriminate, yeah. And that's what's happening under this administration.
Well, I'm sure you're heartened by the letter that Trump wrote to the Log Cabin Club a few months ago, in which he professed his commitment to equality for all.
Yeah, but it was full of double talk about us all being equals in the eyes of our Creator. And he says, we all live under the same laws and are made in the image of the same Almighty God.
Well, I think Olympic U.S. skater Adam Rippon has their number. He can see through them. He this week, you know, the Olympics start in a couple of weeks in South Korea, and he already said he doesn't want to go to the White House if he wins, but now he's going after Pence.
Well, yeah, because Pence is going to be the leader of the U.S. delegation in South Korea.
Yeah.
And he said, this is a guy who supports conversion therapy.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a real concept of reality. And he criticized him for pretending to be a devout Christian and then standing by Trump, who was totally the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So a Pence spokesperson actually replied to this and said, Rippon's accusation is totally false and has no basis in fact, which is just
liar.
One more lie from the Trump administration.
Now, the bigger crowd that has their number is, of course, all of us who went out to the Women's March last
yes.
weekend. Now, I have to say, I had heard, we've been talking about it for weeks on the show and alerting people, and therefore are responsible, I'm sure, for hundreds of thousands of people going. But I hadn't heard a lot about it around here, and my neighbor said to me, we have to go to this. There are only going to be 200 people there. Well, the crowd in New York was smaller, 200,000.
At least. That was the police estimate.
Yes. And the police estimate in L.A. was 600,000 to 700,000
people. There were millions of people marching all over the world. And it was very heartening to be in
Extremely.
Those crowds. And that's why we urge you to get out, because we all feel bad about what's happening.
So we have a couple of little pieces of video. First, Gays Against Guns, our local group here, with branches around the country, look for them near you, showed up with their usual song parodies. They take regular songs
yes.
and then they write their own lyrics. In this case, it was Madonna's Vogue, which they turned to Vote. So let's see a little of Gag doing Vote.
And look around. Everywhere you turn is heartache. It's worse than you can conceive.
Yeah, look around.
You try everything you can to escape the psycho traitor in chief.
Hail to the thief.
You're fed up and you long to see something better for the USA. I know a place where you can have your say. It's called a ballot box and it really rocks. So come on, vote, 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 vote. I'll send Paul Ryan back to Wisconsin. Hey, hey. McConnell, you gotta go. You know we can do it.
Very colorful.
Very. Even more charming were the little girls you ran into.
On the side of the march, and I just was, they have a real strong message for us, if we can run their little video.
Oh, ho! Donald Trump has got to go.
Well, why don't you vote?
Oh, ho! Donald
Trump. Vote.
Okay, I get it. It's got to go. But the big message is they're going to vote in 10 years, folks.
It always makes me a little nervous to see children at these marches, because the right wing brings their children to marches to indoctrinate them in right wing attitudes. And I don't want to force anyone.
Well, you know,
I just want to convince them.
Right wing suppression. I mean, you're making me think of a story that I was going to talk about elsewhere in the violence section. You know, think of the fact that the suicide rate among children is so high in Utah. It's like 141% of the national average, mm-hmm. and it's because it's this very repressive environment. That's what you do to people, I believe that triggers a lot of conflict within a person. And yes,
it's. I don't know that we have all the answers on Utah, because there's also a lot of liberalism in Utah, as you know.
In Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
They're having a great time.
It's a beautiful place.
All right, so let's go back to Trump. I mean, some people look, if you really want to be depressed, and think of who he appointed to the Office of National Drug Control Policy as the Deputy Chief of Staff. It's a kid named Taylor Wayneth, 24. 24. He ended up being a no-show at his previous job, working for a law firm, and then he was let go, and then he lied about it on his resume, and he lied about his service credits and his master's degree, and, you know, we're supposed to be going through an opioid crisis. You know, this guy's only drug experience was working for his stepfather, who was arrested for importing illegal steroids. This is the guy who is the deputy chief of staff, and, you know, and they keep saying, we're taking this seriously. I mean, they're not taking anything seriously.
No, they're trying to destroy the entire governmental structure. That's what they're doing, every bit of it. And you have something on other Trump appointees?
I'm not even going to go through all the names. Okay. So many anti-gay judges were appointed this week. They're moving on Brown back as the head of this international religious freedom thing. And they did approve this guy, Eric Dreiband, to head the Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice. He was the leading opponent in court against HB 2. And the people voting for this among the Republicans, you think they're so moderate? Lindsey Graham, Ben Sasse, Jeff Flake, and this guy John Kennedy, they can be iconoclastic on some issues, but they are clearing all these appointments.
That's why I'm very, very discouraged about the possibilities for any kind of immigration.
But we did get rid of one of them, Carl Higbee. He was appointed to be the public face of AmeriCorps, which is our U.S. government volunteer agency. But CNN unearthed the fact that he was a racist, sexist, anti-Muslim, anti-LGBT on the radio in 2013. He says he regrets it, but the things he said were just heinous. I don't like gay people. I just don't. And the stuff he said about Muslims, much worse, women, etc.
One of the most interesting stories this week published in the New York Times is about a brewing problem with the Defense Department. There is a rule in a law passed a few years ago that says if a country is getting aid from us, but is committing huge human rights abuses, the aid is supposed to be cut off. Well, guess what? We have all our soldiers in Afghanistan, and they notice that the Afghani soldiers, as we have heard about in one way or another for years, have a lot of boy slaves, sex slaves. Yeah. And you may regard this as sort of benignly cultural, but it turns out they're chaining them to beds, they're raping them, they're beating them, and these are human rights abuses.
The soldiers are told, don't say anything about it.
And when they do try to report it, and when people say, why are we giving aid to this country when these human rights abuses are going on, contrary to the law we have about aid, then the Republicans say, well, there is a clause in the law that says under particular circumstances you can ignore this whole law and continue to give aid. But it's a really ugly situation.
We're aligned with a lot of horror. By the way, this was something that Carl Higbee actually did criticize. We're aligned with a lot of horrible regimes. Pence went to Egypt. Vice President Pence didn't say anything. I mean, he just talked generally about human rights, but was asked specifically about LGBT rights, he wouldn't address it.
Mm-hmm.
And
look forward to his administration. But the craziest and most depressing story of the week has to do with the State Department. Two same-sex couples, married couples, a female couple and a male couple. In each couple, one is a U.S. citizen, one was a citizen of another country, and they got married. And they had kids.
One of them had twins.
The men had twins.
Yes.
They each contributed sperm to a surrogate, and they ended up with twins, and the women, one of them bore a child, and then the other one bore a child. So they have these kids, they're married, they are the parents of the kids. Except that when it came time for them to apply to the U.S. to confirm everybody's citizenship, the State Department is now saying, well, I don't know about that. We're going to have to investigate your children, and we're going to do DNA tests, and we're going to find out that for the male couple with the twins, One is conceived from the sperm of the U.S. citizen, and the other is conceived from the sperm of the guy who was originally from another country. So we're not going to give that kid citizenship.
Now, does this happen with heterosexual couples?
I sincerely doubt it.
Okay.
For the female couple, since the U.S. citizen bore one child and the non-U.S. Originally citizen bore the other child, that child is not being given citizenship. These couples are suing the State Department. It is the craziest thing we've heard in a long time. But we have video of this story from Immigration Equality.
Well, you don't choose in life who you love. Love is love. It doesn't matter the gender.
I grew up in Los Angeles, California.
I was born in Israel and grew up there in Tel Aviv.
Because of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, I couldn't sponsor a lot because we're a same-sex couple.
We wanted to live in New York and we couldn't live in New York because the U.S. government didn't recognize our relationship.
A lot of this is not out there. People really don't know how these laws affect us.
When we met, we did talk about having a family, so we knew we were both on the same page, and it was something we would do down the line.
I always knew I'm going to have a family with kids and a partner, and we're going to create this unit together. Both parents of these kids are on their birth certificates, but one was denied U.S. citizenship because he doesn't have a genetic connection to the U.S. citizen.
It's shocking because they're brothers, and they're treated differently. Why doesn't Lucas have American citizenship? It's the laws and the policies and the government saying, no, you're not treated as his mother. It makes me feel, again, rejected, all the things I felt from the U.S.
Who is the mother? Who is the biological mother? It doesn't really matter. We are both mothers.
How am I going to explain this to him when he grows up? You're different than your brother. He's a U.S. citizen at birth. You are not. It's creating an issue from something that shouldn't be an issue.
We want our children to be happy and healthy and supported and loved.
That's all we really want. We want a healthy, happy family.
And the truth is, there is not such a thing as equality yet. Like, we are not treated the same.
None of it makes sense. It's not right, and we know it's not right.
You can make a change in the world. Maybe it's a very small change, but it will help a lot of other people. And I think that's what we're doing right now, fixing something that is not fair and fighting for what's right.
So even if you're a U.S. citizen, you're not exempt from this madness.
No.
All right, moving on.
Can we talk about anything more on Mr. Trump's administration?
Yeah, I think I'm done with him for the moment.
Well, you know, last week we told you about a big Democratic flip in Wisconsin for a legislative seat. I've read that Democrats have flipped 34 state legislative seats compared to 4 for Republicans since Trump was elected. Most of the Democratic winners have been women. Now, of course, the Democrats have a lot of ground to make up because they lost 1,000 seats over the last 10 years in state legislatures.
One more Trump-related thing, I guess. This woman, Helen Grace James, who 50 years ago, or 60 years ago,
yes,
was given a dishonorable discharge from the Air Force because she's a lesbian.
That's what she looked like back in 1955.
Yeah. And now she is still alive, and she has achieved an honorable discharge.
She said she knew she was a lesbian since she was 2, and she wanted to be called Jim. And she gave all her girly gifts to her sister. And she became as she left, of course, the service, became a physical therapist. But, you know, she was not covered under the GI Bill. She had to pay for her own schooling, and she went to Stanford. Denied insurance, all those things. So now she's entitled to benefits now.
Better late than never.
Well, yes.
I guess so.
Well, it meant a lot to her, and it should mean a lot to all of us.
It does mean a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of old people, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's 84, has joined the Me Too movement at Sundance. She said she had a chemistry professor who gave her some academic help and then wanted sex. And she stormed into his office and she said, "How dare you do this? How dare you?" And that was the end of that, she said. Now, of course, sometimes that's the end of you when you stand up. But she stood up.
Good for her.
She's been standing up ever since.
Let's hope she continues to. Report from the National Centers of Anti-Violence Projects. Oh, yeah. Did I get that name right? NCAVP.
Yes.
They are out with their report on violence against LGBT people in 2017, and they note the recording of 52 murders of LGBT people.
Mostly trans women, but also, gay men and lesbians as well. Now, the increase that they're talking about, an 86% increase, does not include the Pulse victims in 2016, which was 49 people who were mostly LGBT and murdered.
Yes. Strange story. A gay male couple in Pennsylvania were getting married, and they ordered wedding programs from Vistaprint. And what they got instead were religious pamphlets talking about sin and Satan.
Oh, it just must be some mix-up.
Mix-up in the delivery.
Well, they didn't get their wedding programs. They had to print them on their own, maybe on the mimeograph machine.
Well, because they arrived, like, the day before Sin and Satan pamphlet. So they're suing Vistaprint, which is claiming, oh, it was just a mistake. But there's some sense that maybe some employee there was
wanted to save their souls.
Yeah.
Back to violence for a second. We told you about the murder of a trans woman named Vicky Gutierrez in L.A. They do have a suspect who's been arrested, a guy named Kervin Ramirez, who met her online and then robbed and killed and burned her place.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And as long as we're in California, we have been waiting for suing for the release of the videotapes of the Prop 8 trial years ago. Do you have the dates written down? I forgot to write them down on my old notes.
August 12th, 2020 is when
they're supposed to be able to see it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember the trial date.
10 years. It's 10 years later.
Okay.
No, so 2020 is 10 years later.
We had wanted the trial to be televised live. The Supreme Court, I think, rejected that, or a federal court rejected that. But Judge Vaughn Walker, who was presiding, said, well, we're going to videotape it anyway, and just for my private use in deciding the trial. And then we're going to squirrel away these tapes. So ever since, people have been trying to get the tapes released.
News companies especially.
Yes. And the latest decision is not yet, maybe 2 years from now. Now, they did do a play based on transcripts of the trial. That was available, and that played for a while. But we'd all like to see the actual videotapes of the trial. Because Vaughn Walker was a genius in mandating that there be a full trial on the issues around same-sex marriage and all the canards that the right wing throws at us, and that
they had pretty sketchy witnesses on the other side.
Some of whom dropped out, got cold feet about it. They ended up with like 3 witnesses, but it was a very full airing of all the issues around same-sex marriage and letting a court decide whether or not we had a constitutional right to marriage.
I'm not done with violence. There are 10 unsolved LGBT murders in Washington, D.C., and 6 are trans women and 4 are gay and bisexual men. And in Virginia, just speaking of violence, a Senate committee there killed the hate crimes bill there that would have added sexual orientation and gender identity. On the other hand, they advanced sexual orientation and gender identity in the Senate for public employees and housing. So some progress after that watershed election that we had this past year.
A mixed result.
Yeah.
Can we mourn the death of Bob Smith?
Oh, yes.
He was a really pioneering gay comedian, one of the first out comedians and he wrote a book called Openly Bob.
And he was funny.
He was in a very kind of kind, gentle way. He wasn't a killer comedian.
Right.
He was a nice guy. And he died at 59 of ALS. He had had Lou Gehrig. He said, Lou Gehrig's disease? I don't even like baseball.
No. He really brought gay comedy to the mainstream. He was on The Tonight Show, Joan Rivers, HBO special, and he wrote all those books.
And we have some videotape of him. So let's take a look at Bob.
I am in a relationship. I have been for 8 years with a guy named Tom, and we moved in together about 6 years ago. And, you know, right away, I knew Tom was a marvelous interior decorator. Because back then, we lived in a studio apartment in Greenwich Village, and Tom, using mirrors, made it look like 12 rooms on Central Park West. When the sun came in, our sofa went up in flames. Please, we have track lighting in our refrigerator. And you know, Tom and I are becoming more militant. We want the same rights as straight couples to hold hands and make a public display of affection, even if we do avoid intimacy in the privacy of our own home. I think there is a gay sensibility. I think that comes from being a member of a minority group in majority society, in the sense that, you know, Jewish comics or black comics or women, you're all looking from the outside in. I was actually in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Someone brought me the local newspaper there. This was really cool. The local newspaper prints gay and lesbian wedding announcements. I think this is great. I can't wait until, like, newspapers all over North America start doing this. Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Douglas have reluctantly announced the engagement of their son, Timothy, to Mark Feldman, the son of the stunned Dr. and Mrs. Saul Feldman. A May commitment ceremony is planned with an awkward reception to immediately follow. At the parents' request, there will be an open bar during the ceremony. I think what I bring to stand-up comedy is a point of view of a gay man that isn't the victim, isn't the butt of the joke. I'm making the joke. And that's an important thing. You know, in stand-up comedy for years, you know, gay men have always been the joke. And I just turn it around saying, laugh with me, but you're not going to be laughing at me.
We loved him.
Yeah.
Survived by his partner, Michael Zam, his longtime partner. It was really a pioneer.
International news. Well, the Bermuda marriage civil union situation is still pretty mixed up.
They had civil unions. They were ordered to do marriage by a lower court, and they did. And then the legislature said, no, we got to get rid of this. So they said, well, no, we're just going to have civil unions, and that's it. But the governor general won't sign the bill reverting it to civil unions. So the UK Parliament is now going to debate this. Now, the Bermuda leaders, they're miffed about this because they don't like this colonial rule thing. They don't think anything will come of this. It may just be a show on the part of the UK Parliament. But it's a hell of a story.
It is, and very confusing. In Northern Ireland, which is the only part of the
United Kingdom.
Yeah, I was just thinking, do I say that when Bermuda is part of the United Kingdom in some way? Anyway, England, Wales, Scotland, and the country of Ireland all have same-sex marriage, but Northern Ireland is a holdout. But now there is a proposal by several legislators to hold a public vote on same-sex marriage because the Parliament there, or the legislature, is all screwed up for various reasons.
But the Court of Appeals there is hearing a same-sex marriage case next month.
Yeah.
And the anti-abortion law is also being challenged. But the polls say that two-thirds of the people up there support it, like their neighbors to the south.
So you know, because you watch this show closely, that the Inter-American Court of Human Rights mandated marriage for about 20 countries in Latin America a couple of weeks ago on a case out of Costa Rica. So everybody in Costa Rica said, oh, great, now we have marriage. But the notaries
are saying, oh, no, you got to change the law. We're not doing it. And the government, the president of the country has already spoken out about this. And he's saying, for crying out loud, let's go. So they're trying to get it moving. But it's delayed things a little bit.
In Toronto, headline news, there had been a couple of gay murders.
Well, there have been a couple of disappearances of gay men. And then where did they go? And they didn't even find dead bodies. They finally somehow tracked it to this guy named Bruce MacArthur, 66, who was apparently meeting them on the Silver Daddy's website, among other places, and murdering people. Now, he's being charged with two murders, Salim Essen and Andrew Kinsman, but police may believe there may be many others that he's responsible for. And what they did was they finally found, I don't know how they got to him, but they finally found traces of blood in his car linking
him to this. Some tiny piece of blood in a car that had been overlooked. But they've now nailed it down.
But it really had the Toronto community on edge because their friends were just disappearing.
And now the Russian LGBT community has been on edge for some years now with President Putin cracking down. And
we're the scapegoats there for all the problems of Putin.
Yes, it's all our fault always. We're the convenient distraction from their economic problems or anything else.
And their takeover of the United States.
So, you know, a few years ago they passed this no promo homo law where if you even mention homosexuality publicly, that's considered dangerous to children and you can be arrested, and they've broken up a lot of protests.
They'll virtually never allow a gay pride march.
But now there is a phenomenon sweeping the nation.
Really? This is big.
Yeah, very
big. Viral.
Yeah. It turns out that there's this little song thing that was made by a DJ.
An Italian DJ named Benny Benassi.
And it itself
called was Satisfaction.
It was a parody of something else. But Russians have now picked it up, and they're doing homoerotic parodies of this Satisfaction song. And we're going to show you part of one that was done by first-year air transport cadets.
And I think they're the ones who started it.
I think they are. Many other, you know, construction workers, nurses. My favorite is old ladies in St. Petersburg have done a version.
When this one that we're going to show you came out, there were complaints to the authorities, and there was an investigation, and they compared it to Pussy Riot, and it has to be stopped. But it became the talk of Russia, and it is now the major way to show dissent by linking yourself with the supposedly hated homosexuals.
So let's get a little taste of air transport cadets in Russia doing their Satisfaction air.
Until I can get my satisfaction.
Push me, and then just hurt me. Till I can get my satisfaction. 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 Satisfaction.
Wow.
I think it's hilarious. But I urge you to Google it and find all the different versions, particularly the old ladies in St. Petersburg.
Right.
But homoeroticism has come to Russia.
In Indonesia, the parties are continuing to rush to criminalize homosexual behavior, and they're saying there's an urgent need to do this because they're pushing the falsehood that the government is trying to legalize same-sex marriage. So opposition parties are saying we have to criminalize it fast because they're trying to put this over. But it's a disaster there. And Indonesia didn't used to be such a terrible place in many places for gay people.
And in a singular story in Pakistan, a trans activist there was kidnapped and raped. A terrible story.
In Chile, better news. Yeah. A gender identity bill passed 68-35 there in their legislature. It allows for hassle-free document change for transgender people.
It passed the Chamber of Deputies. It still has to pass the Senate. Yes, it will make gender change easier. We'll follow the progress of that. And a happy story back in the United Kingdom where wrestler Mike Perro has come out.
There's Whoa!
I love showing pictures like this because they are so contrary to the stereotype, quite the bear.
You're scaring me, Mike. He's got a fierce expression for those of you listening on the podcast.
If you Google Mike Perro, P-A-R-R-O-W, you can find some pictures of him smiling, too.
Oh, that's
nice. This was such the wrestling
pic. Thanks for coming out, as like what we like to say.
Yeah.
All right. Entertainment news.
AIDS news first?
Oh, yes, please, if you have some.
Well, just that we went to the memorial for Mathilde Krim this week, co-creator of AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research, a legend, died at 91 after a long and more productive life than any of us could have in five lifetimes.
Right.
And it was friends and family, and it was a moving little recitation of her stuff. You were particularly caught by one story.
Well, she was a friend of the Johnsons in the White House, and the Kennedys.
LBJ.
And the Kennedys. Not Andrew Johnson. But, you know, she threw the birthday party for Jack Kennedy, and then she was with the Johnsons, and she's standing on the balcony of the White House with Lyndon Johnson after Martin Luther King is assassinated, and they're seeing smoke in the distance because people are rioting, and Johnson is saying, after all we've done together and we've worked so hard and we've, you know, and we've accomplished so much, why is this happening? And she turns to him and says, they're doing it because they can. And what I think what she meant was they were so African-Americans were so repressed before they weren't allowed to even protest, weren't even allowed to. And we saw what happened to protesters in the South. They were beaten.
And the protesters after King's death didn't fare so well either. But
no. Yes,
that was an interesting story.
Right.
And there were lots of fun family stories and stories about her generosity and her humility and her brilliance.
She in her townhouse. This gorgeous townhouse that she housed a lot of African students who were here on scholarships and things who couldn't find housing. She put them up.
And an employee and his family after his house got burned down.
The husband, the wife, and six children she put up.
But my favorite detail was about her pet lovebird who would suddenly fly out of her blouse or her hair.
Her major contribution was standing up for justice
yes.
And that's why she did the AIDS work. And she was a scientist also.
But she always understood the intersection of the science and the civil rights and always stood up for the civil rights. Sorely missed. Honored to have been at the service.
Yes, indeed.
All right, entertainment news. Should we start with the Oscar nominations?
Well, sure. There's a lot of gay content there in the Oscar nominations. Timothée Chalamet did get nominated for Best Actor in Call Me By Your Name, his at least bisexual, maybe gay character. And
the whole movie is very gay, isn't it? You've seen it.
I haven't.
It's been nominated for Best Picture, one of the nine nominated.
Right. And then another gay character is Richard Jenkins in The Shape of Water.
Which got the most nominations.
He plays a gay character. And then, of course, Christopher Plummer was nominated for All the Money in the World, replacing the disgraced Kevin Spacey in about 5 minutes.
Nominated for Best Foreign Language Picture, A Fantastic Woman, starring Daniela Vega, who is a trans woman. And it's the story about a trans woman and the death of her lover. I'm going to see that next week. They're doing a screening here in New York. It's gotten a lot of great talk, and it's an Oscar nominee.
And our friend Dee Reese, who directed Mudbound, got nominated for adapted screenplay with Virgil Williams' She's Out.
She's been a guest on Gay USA.
She has. And then in the documentary category, documentary directed by an out trans director, Yance Ford. It's called Strong Island, and it's about a horrible racist incident murder on Long Island for Yance's brother.
Is there any gay element in Three Billboards?
Oh, yes. Sam Rockwell plays a racist homophobe, and then they keep talking about homophobia in it.
Do they have any actual gay characters?
I don't remember any. He'll correct me. Because you always do.
References, at least. And there are a lot of gay nominees sprinkled among the animators and the songwriters and things like that.
What would show business do without us?
Well, that's another question, because I am currently not happy about this revival of The Boys and the Band on Broadway and the ad campaign, which I think is...
Is this Ryan Murphy? Directing this?
I will take
Who's doing it?
No, Joe Mantello.
Oh, Joe Mantello is directing
Another out gay. Really, is this necessary in 2018?
Well, I mean, is a revival... I grew up on The Boys in the Band. I saw it before I was allowed to in the movies because I was under 18 or something.
I saw the Road Company play.
But, and I, you know, I think it's a pretty good play, but do we need... There's so much going on these days. Well, let's see how it will speak to us today. I don't know.
Well, it's like the children's hour to some extent. And I've often related the story of how I had a dream one night where I was screaming at Lillian Hellman, how dare you give me such a negative image of lesbians? And I think that's what The Boys in the Band represents, too.
Yeah. And, it's funny. We also saw on television this week, last week, the assassination of Gianni Versace. This is a Ryan Murphy production. And we have a picture there. There's no scene like this in the play where they're all together, obviously. But that's...
Penelope Cruz as Donatella Versace.
Ricky Martin as Versace's partner, Antonio D'Amico.
On the right.
Edgar Ramirez looking very much like Gianni Versace.
Really good.
And Darren Criss as Andrew Cunanan, the killer in this case. I didn't know Andrew Cunanan, but I think you need to be a more charming sociopath to get where he got in terms of getting into everybody's lives. And he just seems so obviously crazy in this thing.
He killed a number of people.
Yes, I know. No. I'm talking about the way he presents himself to people. I wouldn't be charmed by somebody like that. Even if they were cute, I'd be scared of them.
And some of it is real and some of it is kind of fantasy. Yeah. We're not sure.
Him on a date with Gianni Versace. Oh, never had a date with Gianni Versace.
No, it seems to be his fantasy. This is the second year of American Crime Story by Ryan Murphy. The first year, last year, was the O.J. Simpson thing, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant and won a ton of awards and deserved every one of them. Like 10 parts, and you didn't even get to O.J. till the third or fourth episode because they put it in context sociologically, and they really made you understand the whole situation.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that the same way this time. I think they're going to get to more of the self-loathing, homophobia, civil rights stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, I'll give it another chance tonight. We're taping on Wednesday.
I think you should. Well, I enjoyed the first episode, maybe just because I enjoyed it.
It's very sumptuously.
Penelope Cruz.
Sumptuously produced.
Oh, my God, that house in Miami. I've walked by it a million times. I've never seen the inside. It is the most gorgeous place.
And they show Ricky Martin as the partner after the murder, standing up for himself in an unconventional relationship with the police. Sort of want to know your brother, the guys in here.
That was horrible.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Now, the cop cross-examining him about Gianni Versace's sex life.
I have to ask these things.
Yeah. Even though they basically already knew it was Cunanan, although I sort of gave them a moment's pass of, okay, you want to ask about this to see if it could have been someone else. But really, that was a little oppressive.
Okay. We saw a couple of plays that I saw. A couple of plays, and you saw one with me. We saw this thing called Balls. It's about the Battle of the Sexes between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. There they are.
Man,
that's Billie Jean there on the left.
They've done so many versions of this lately.
It was a movie, of course. This is by Kevin Armento and Brian E. Lavery, who is an out lesbian. But, it's mainly like a ballet of action, of recreating every shot in this thing, and with interspersed with the lesbian Marilyn, the lover,
Barnett,
and the husband.
Terrible.
But it was like a cartoon.
It was empty. Do you want to say something about the other play before
The Thing
we're
with Feathers by Scott Orgen, it's a provocative plot, and I don't want to spoil it, but it's directed in a way that keeps the characters at a distance and could use also a more charming sociopath to work.
All right. Well, on that note, we're ending, and we will be back in our regular studio next week, so there will be more room behind us.
Yes. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, and we will see you next week.